Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good evening, Jay Bird watching fans. We are the official podcast of Jay's Journal. It's the duo tonight instead of the normal trio of either Adam Corsair or Chris Key. Chris Key having some technical difficulties, so we figured we'd get started before too long. So if he hops on, he hops on. If he does not, it'll just be us two for this evening for the first time since what? Canada Day, I think we did a show with just you and I, Craig.
I think it was something like that. I don't remember different. Which, but either way, you know, you and I always play well together too. So it's as fine as what it is, right?
Exactly. It is different though. Like I remember I didn't have my camera on that because I was up north and the Wi-Fi wasn't the greatest. Adam, a couple minutes before we were supposed to start, said he had something come up last minute, so he's unavailable. So I'm like, damn, it was an adjustment period going from 3 to 2 after so many episodes of 3, but I think we should be good to go for this evening's episode. And shout out to Stadium Scene as well. Keep on forgetting to mention them up at the top of the podcast for continuing to support us and promote our stuff, so check them out. But yeah, Craig, MLB playoffs are continuing, and we have 3 teams that have made it past the division series, and there's a whole lot of meh in there for me, especially in the American League. And you know what? Because of that racist tomahawk chop, there's a lot of very likable players on the Atlanta Braves, and one of my good friends from university works for their AAA team, so he could get a World Series ring if they ended up winning, which would be cool. But still, the tomahawk chop kind of takes away from the allure of that team. So 3 teams as Blue Jays fans were just like, I don't know. I don't know how I'm feeling about this.
Just to say, I was over that since 1992.
Exactly. Exactly. A little bit more of society too, except for the people who continue to do that tomahawk chop.
Even Roberto Alomar and Kelly Gruber were all over that. Going around the bases as they were winning the games. It was a good time.
But yeah, absolutely. Well, why don't we start in the American League, because that's closer to our Toronto Blue Jays, like we did last week when we talked about generic Blue Jays playoff stuff. I don't know. Do you want to start by airing out the grievances that it was the Red Sox? The Red Sox, and we thought they had no chance of getting by the Rays, got by them 3-1. They just got hot at the very right time. It kind of reminds me, Craig, the Red Sox beating the Rays like that, probably to a lesser extent, but how the Blue Jays got hot at the right time in the wild card game and the Texas Rangers series in 2016 that got into the ALCS. So, kind of similar vibes with the Red Sox right now, because if they get cold or they just come back down to earth a little bit, I have to assume that Houston is going to the World Series.
Ugh, are you trying to make me throw up, cringe, all the above? It's sad that I'm rooting for the Red Sox in this equation. It really is, because I just don't want to see the Houston Astros ever win anything again. I would love to see them just get buried and be done and over with. I'm just done with the whole fact, and the fact that there's still lingering jackasses on that team from the cheating episode, it still just brings question to me what is really going on in that whole thing. And I just think it's hilarious that former Blue Jay Ryan Tepera basically said that on Twitter the other night. So to that point, then, you know, of course, in typical fashion, Carlos Correa goes, oh, he's just, it sounds oddly familiar. It's the same damn story. I don't care if you're cheating or not. I just don't like it. Not that the Red Sox aren't cheaters either, but that's besides the point. It's a lesser of two evils thing. I'm just upset at the fact that, honestly, that I how did it get by the Rays, especially in the 3-1? It should at least be like what we see on the flip side of the coin in the National League here. I figured that was going to be a down to the freaking, you know, at a minimum down to the last game.
Oh, I know.
I never thought it was going to be this.
No, neither did I. It's, I mean, hey, credit to them. They got by the behemoth that was the Rays for the majority of the season, the best team in the American League. So, I mean, credit where credit's due, even though it is painful to give that credit. I don't know, Craig, one thing I was thinking of asking, and I'll just go ahead and do it, is if the Blue Jays were in place of the Red Sox or the Yankees, and let's say the Blue got by and got into that series against the Rays, knowing how much of a kryptonite they've been the last, like, ever since they basically changed their name from the Devil Rays to the Rays, would the Blue Jays be in the ALCS right now? Because that's what everybody's talking about on Twitter, is if you got into the dance and let's say you just have replaced Boston, do they get by the Rays? Because I don't know. I'm still struggling with that in my mind where I want to say maybe they get it to 4 games or 5 games, but I'm still I can't say that they would have gotten to this point. But the Red Sox did, so why couldn't the Blue Jays?
So here's the thing I'm going to bring up about that debate. The Blue Jays had more momentum going their way even than the Red Sox did in this situation.
Yeah.
The Red Sox had to hurry up and generate their momentum in that wild card game against the Yankees, and sure as fuck they did that. So when you're beating the Yankees 6-1 to take a wild card win, you know, that's just what's going to happen, you know. But to that fact, I don't see how the Blue Jays wouldn't have been able to follow that. They won the how many of their last games in the last week there and put themselves in such a place to win. How would that momentum faded away overnight? They would have had Robbie Ray in that freaking wild card game, crushed right through one of those two other teams. And then they would have been able to go right in with Berríos and company, still feeling strong, and then getting Robbie Ray probably to pitch that third game. You know, I just don't see how that wouldn't have been a very similar thing. And I think a lot of that's just because the Tampa Bay Rays just looked like they were flat-footed. Like, they just expected something to go their way, the ball to bounce, you know, off a bag and get an extra base out of it or whatever it might happen, the weird shit that just happens in the trap. So, and they just couldn't get that catalyst going. They really couldn't. And the pitching fell apart in the wrong places in those games, and it was just rough to watch. But like I said, kudos to the Red Sox for figuring it out, because they somehow found a way to exercise their demons against the Rays too.
Yeah, no kidding. I like, it just boggles my mind that the Red Sox are through and they got by the Rays. I thought they had no chance. I thought they'd be lucky to win a game, which, you know what? I think I would have picked the Blue Jays to win a game, so of course I would have picked the Red Sox to at least win a game. But still, going beyond that is a little bit surprising. But it's the fact that they did a lot of their damage, Craig, against the Rays bullpen, which is basically, at the end of the day, why the Blue Jays have a losing record against the Rays every year, because the Blue Jays starters this season had a better ERA than the Rays starters. It's just when it gets reversed and the Blue Jays bullpen comes in, they're coughing up leads in close games while the Rays are shutting it down. They didn't do that in this series. So it's just like, why? Why couldn't the Rays bullpen melt down a couple more times against the Blue Jays this season? Like, come on now.
And to that point, though, I'm gonna take this and raise you on that whole thing. Not only did the bullpen fall apart in the wrong times, we ran into the Rays at the wrong time. Yeah. And that was when our bullpen was in shambles. You know, late in the season when we played them there that last time, that was a legit series. That was the Blue Jays playing the best of our guys playing the best of theirs. And it was like we were expecting. They beat the fuck out of each other. Yeah. So it is what it is. But I really think if we were in that postseason picture there in the Red Sox's spot, I think that would have been just as equally a competitive series, and the Blue Jays, with the momentum that they would have had continuing through that, it would have been a very difficult series for the Rays.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. And again, as I said at the top, I still can't wrap my head around if the Blue Jays actually would have gotten by the Rays, but seeing the ease the Red Sox did, that makes me believe a little bit more. If the spots were reversed, the Blue Jays would be getting ready for an ALCS game against the Houston Astros tomorrow. But we can't labor on that anymore. It's been done for a couple of weeks now. I think the hurt is a little gone now that the playoffs are well underway.
Been watching too many episodes of that Marvel What If on Disney Plus or something like that, just seeing, you know, oh, well, if this little parallel thing happened in the little roll down the hill, then
the parallel universe where the Blue Jays are going to win the World Series in 2021. Unfortunately, we are not living in that parallel universe.
That's what 22 is for. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. I think we chatted about it last week, and our thoughts on the Chicago White Sox were pretty on, Craig. We all thought, you know what, talented team, kind of similar to the Blue Jays in the fact that they have some young superstars. I would say the White Sox pitching rotation might be a little more promising long-term than the Blue Jays at this current point in juncture, and their bullpen was miles better, but still just a meh feeling about the White Sox. And every single time I checked the score against Houston, I was just like, meh. I think we all picked the Houston Astros to go through surprise. Because of that factor. So I don't know if there's really anything to talk about in that series. But the Astros just now they're in their fifth straight ALCS, and all five of them are going to be against American League East teams. So whether it's the Red Sox, the Yankees, or the Rays, you're always guaranteed to play the Astros these days in the ALCS, which is kind of messed up.
It's horrible. And a lot of that's just because of their division, too. You know, yeah. They were basically handed that on a silver platter. And other than the Oakland A's really kind of fell apart at the end of the season, they, like I said, they ran away with it. And that's similar, unfortunately, to how the White Sox even got in.
But yeah.
The White Sox have a hell of a team. It's just like, I think they were 1 year off. They were like where we were last year playing the Rays in the wild card
sure.
game.
Sure.
So I'm in that school of thought that they're going to be a pain in the ass for us even, I think, in the next few years too.
Yeah.
Mostly to that credit of what you said with the pitching. And if they can find some guys to, all of a sudden turn it on around Roberts and Moncada and Jimenez. Because they didn't play enough. The young guys are lost in my brain. But where the hell did Yasmani Grandal come from in the last month of the season? Where the hell did he go in the midst of this playoff thing? He hasn't done anything. And then watching Liam Hendricks, unfortunately, give up that giant blast to Correa the other night, it hurt. So, like I said, I just don't know what happened in that series, but it pains me to the fact that is what I get to have representing the American League right before the World Series is those two teams. And I have to pick one or the other to go to the World Series. And like I said, I just can't give that in my opinion. I want to see the Red Sox win, but they're going to have their hands full with this team for the Houston Astros. They're hot right now too.
Yeah. I can't disagree with you on that. So I think we're kind of leaning similarly for the American League. Although I can't bring myself to cheer for the Red Sox in this. I know the cheating.
I didn't say I was cheering loudly. I'm just like, please just defeat evil. Get it over with.
The Red Sox are also evil. So it's like, who do you want of the lesser of two evils? And there's an argument to be made that both of them are the lesser evil.
That's why I'm going to be voting for the National League regardless of the World Series. So just saying.
Yeah.
But other favorite team is, I'm assuming you're leading into the National League now.
I think we're both on this front. The team I picked to win the World Series and Braves is already out. The Milwaukee Brewers lost last night. Saw most of that game. I tuned in for it because I didn't see much of the Brewers and Braves series so far throughout the playoffs, obviously getting back into football mode and Canadian football. Of course, it's going to take up my time when my teams are playing in it as opposed to not watching the Blue Jays play in the playoffs.
We're at the Argos game.
Exactly. 100%. So, Craig, I think this is kind of in a similar vein to the Red Sox beating the Rays with the Braves beating the Brewers, because the Brewers pitching staff, as we gushed about last week with Freddy Peralta and Corbin Burns and why am I blanking on the third big guy in their rotation, Brandon Woodruff.
Yeah.
I didn't think they had a chance. I picked the Brewers to sweep them just on the fact that their pitching has been historically good this season. But man, Freddie Freeman finally gets this moment. That was pretty cool to see, actually.
I love Freddie Free. There's not a classier guy in baseball. There's plenty that are right in that same ballpark with him, but he is just one of those perfect baseball players and a great human being, it seems like. So to watch him get that moment in the playoffs and really solidify his Braves legacy, because he's a free agent after this season, I believe. Wink, wink, wink. So, but to that point, on the flip side of that coin, I loved watching Rowdy Tellez just destroy the playoffs. Oh my God. Two home runs in the series and just looking like the guy that we were expecting him. If he isn't going to be a Toronto Blue Jay, he screams Milwaukee Brewer to me. This is a guy that when I met him we were at the, it was kind of like the prospect showcase in Buffalo. They do it every year with the Buffalo Bisons, and they invite a bunch of guys that are probably already going to be on the Bisons for the season guys that are going to be probably with that next season. So when I met Rowdy Tellez, it was the same year that Bo Bichette was going to come through, Vladdy, everybody. Everybody we know and love now. And Rowdy was right in the midst of that equation too, sitting at a table with Ryan Barucki, and they were just talking about, whoa, hey, where are we going Buffalo after this? And I'm like, well, guys, you go here, here, and here. And me and my dad were goofing around with them, and they're like, how come they're not serving enough beer at this event? And Rowdy's like, I know, it's killing me. So knowing he's in Milwaukee now, perfect fit. He can go down the slide and get a big beer for himself and have a few brats. Just he's
probably buddies with Bernie.
He's got to be. How do you not? Not to mention him, Bernie, and Bob Uecker. That's got to be a great conversation. Come on. I know Bernie's just going to stand there with a mug in his hand. But
Speaking of which, I know we talked about it before, but the Bernie's Barrelman Ale at Miller Park is one of the best beers I have had in my life. I would give it
especially something specifically for a ballpark.
Yeah, yeah, you can't get it anywhere else other than Miller Park, or I guess what is it called now? Great American Family Field or something like that. No, it's still it's Miller Park. Come on. Yeah, but yeah, absolutely. It's
or if you want to get technical, it's Euchre Park, the house that Euchre built.
Yeah, that would actually be more applicable. You know what? Call it the Great American Family Field or whatever the fuck it's called and present on Bob Uecker Field or something like that. I don't know.
But to that point, we still call it Rogers Center Sky Dome. So just saying.
Exactly.
I still think it's hilarious that of all the stuff that they've done to renovate that ballpark for us, right? It still says Sky Dome on the side of the damn seats up in the 500 level. It's just.
Too easy.
And I remember walking from the hotels that we used to stay at back in the day, too, that the Skywalk still had Skydome all over it and everything like that, too. So it was just hilarious to me that, this is what it's called now. But don't worry about changing all the logos and everything.
Yeah.
Bring the track and I'll be happy.
People won't sit there too often, so we'll just keep it the way it is. We're too lazy to change it. But, yeah, the Braves are through.
Right, Brewers.
Yeah. I was shocked. I did not see that coming from the Milwaukee Brewers. I thought that they would run the table and get into the World Series on the strength of their pitching. But the Braves, credit, again, kind of like the Red Sox, credit to them. You beat good pitching, and you were able to get through to the NLCS. But we finally have a Game 5. No series so far has gotten to Game 5. But the Giants and the Dodgers, the crazy rivalry, San Francisco and Los Angeles, is going back to the Bay Area tomorrow night. Craig, if you had to pick a winner in tomorrow's game, who do you have winning Game 5 because to go play the Braves in the NLCS?
So basically now that all the teams I predicted or loved out of this whole equation are gone. What I'm honestly rooting for right now is a Boston Giants World Series with a Giants victory on top of it because that is the two teams that nobody expected to do shit.
Yeah, that's season. Fair.
And then watching the Giants just go, nope, fuck it. I'm taking this. I want to see that one guy that was dumb enough to be the lifetime San Francisco Giants fan that says, you know what? I'm just going to go to Vegas this week and I'm going to bet $20 on the Giants to win the World Series. And this is all the way back in the spring, right?
Yes.
That guy will pay out like crazy. And I just want to see the guy literally have a heart attack from winning that. I really think that would be the best story in baseball to end the season on. I know that's a World Series that win that would probably, you know, only Giants fans obviously are going to want because everybody's going to be like, oh, got to root for the big market team. Go Red Sox. Yeah. So I really think that would be fun and interesting. And not to mention to take down World Series champs like that in grand fashion. Is it in L.A. tomorrow or is it? It's in San Francisco, right? Because they had the best record in baseball.
That's right.
So. It's the biggest underdogs team of the season. I'm dying to see the Giants win. It's going to be a very big game or close game, I think, though.
I got to look it up because I didn't remember what it was. Do you remember the pitching matchup for the game tomorrow?
I have the playoff bracket in front of me. 2 seconds.
Oh, I have it. Logan Webb for the Giants, who spun a gem in game one against Julio Urias.
So two youngsters coming in, and it looks like speaking of coming in, we got our other guest here finally joining us. But yeah, to that point, I honestly love that matchup for this game, and it's going to be a fun time, I think, to watch those guys jump in and really, get set in. This is going to be their major league careers. This is their chance to make a great establishment for themselves going for their teams going. And we've all been wondering when Julio Urias was going to really kick off fantasy baseball owners in dynasty leagues that have been hoarding him for years like me. And then Logan Webb coming out of nowhere and having the season that he had. Two great young pitchers in Major League Baseball that have a chance to really put themselves on display tomorrow in primetime.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of primetime, the third member of the team has made it into the chat. Welcome, sir.
Chris. I am here, and my computer survived many threats, many, many threats.
Like, how many dents?
Bashing my head off the desk, maybe, but, you know, like, it was literally, I could do everything on my computer except for open Teams, and that was it. It was the only thing that wouldn't open. But we are
why is this reminding me of that South Park thing when you see the South Park movie a million years ago, and he goes, Bill Gates, you promised that Windows 98 was going to be 9 billion times faster with better access to the internet. And he is like, well, it is. And then he just blows his brains out. Is that you?
But we are here. We're excited. Let's talk whatever you guys were talking about.
I haven't got a Blue Jay talk yet.
Yeah, you made it in perfect time, actually, because I tell you what, for your thoughts on how the playoffs have gone so far. We chatted about it last week. Craig and I have given our thoughts on all the series so far. Is there been any surprise? And I'm pretty sure the surprise is the Red Sox beating the Rays or the Braves beating the Brewers. But was there anything that stood out to you from the DS series so far, Mr. Key?
The lack of offense from Milwaukee kind of surprised me.
There was one name for that offense.
Rowdy.
Yeah.
Which is cool to see at the same time. Like, you know, we can be fans, and whether you want to be a fan of a team or if you want to just be a fan of certain players at this point. Like, I know there's a lot of people that don't want anything to do with the Atlanta Braves fandom, but they want to see Anthopoulos do well, and they want to see, like, Freddie Freeman do well, and say what you want, I guess, but like, did you either any of us really think that either Boston or Atlanta had a shell?
No,
nope. I'm pretty sure we actually all said that exact same thing last week.
Yeah,
I said we were Brewers all looking for sweeps.
Yeah, I said Brewers in a sweep and the Red Sox win one game. That's it.
I believe you said the World Series is going to be Milwaukee and Tampa, didn't you?
I did.
That's so good.
It's a reason we're all not betting in Vegas, just saying.
Yeah, I'm also a curse. I'm learning that whenever I pick you, that's probably not a good thing.
So maybe next time you do the opposite.
Yeah, yeah. Pick the thing I don't want to win.
The things I love always hurt me.
Well, Houston's moving on, and I think we all kind of expected that. They always do. They got some good pitching. They play really good defense as well. Like I said, I don't know if I really want the Astros to do well, but like, let's get Dusty his ring and get him the hell out of MLB. Like,
whatever. Honestly, that'd be about the only reason I could vote for the Astros doing it, or being moderately okay with it.
How can you choose between the Red Sox and the Astros? They've kind of been like the evil foes of MLB in the last 4 or 5 years or so. But yeah, like, I can't at all with a conscience cheer for the Red Sox, so like, I guess I'm kind of on the Houston bandwagon for the ALCS. Just get Dusty there, and whatever happens happens at that point. How about the Giants and Dodgers series though?
Yeah, that's where we were literally
down to 5 games. Lots of exciting defense, lighting hits, timely hits. I can't say I've seen much more than highlights on that, because they start 10:30 starts don't really coincide with my lifestyle when you have a 2-year-old that wakes up 4 times in a so you get those precious minutes of sleep whenever you can. But yeah, it's exciting stuff, and it'll be fun to kind of see if like Jocktober carries on into the NLCS, and like if the magic can kind of continue with that. We just said this in the last series and last year, but like, do you really see Atlanta having a shot against either San Fran or LA?
I can't rule them out. Why? Because they beat
the Waffles pitching.
So it's going to be very interesting either way. But you know, it's a shame kind of how the MLB playoffs are set up, that you have the two best teams in Major League facing off in the first round, essentially. But
that would have been a killer NLCS if they somehow were able to meet in there.
Literally, maybe.
Get those two teams for 7 games?
Whew. Yeah, I know, right? Oh, that'd be so good. Chris, do you have a winner tomorrow? Craig, I'm pretty sure. Or I don't know if you picked your winner. I can't remember. You picked
Giants. I'm voting Giants. Giants. I want the Giants. I need the Giants.
Who's pitching? I don't even know who's pitching.
It's Logan Webb versus Julio Urias.
Oh, how can you pick against Urias? And
it's
like,
the hard part.
LA has such a deep rotation as well that they could throw
Oh, hell, you could throw Urias and then you could throw Bueller right after him if you really wanted to, and you still have two or three other options to start the NLCS if you really wanted to. Yeah, so, like, I don't know. I'm going to pick Dodgers.
Dodgers?
You can't not bet against them. They're so damn good.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say I'm wagering against them, but I'm voting against them.
I guess that's a difference, but
yeah, I think I'm gonna go with the Giants just because of the San Francisco connection to the 49ers. I kind of want to do well now, especially now that the Brewers are out. So I'm gonna go with the Giants. And so, gentlemen, if that's the case, we know that three of the four teams are through. We know what our ALCS is. Now that we know that, give me predictions in that series. And when we record next week, Wednesday or Thursday, whatever day we decide, we'll be able to evaluate, see where we're at. There might be already World Series team in there at that point, or they're going to game 6 or 7 at this time next week, Wednesday or Thursday. So, Craig, who do you have between the Red Sox and the Astros in how many games?
I think the Red Sox and the Astros are going to – I think the Red Sox are going to win the series because of the momentum thing. I just don't know how they're going to stop. I really don't. They've been riding this wave now, and then they've been one of the streakiest teams in baseball. I think they're going to keep it going at least another week. And I'm thinking 5 games for them, and I think the Giants are going to win similar fashion against the Atlanta Braves. I think the Braves are going to finally meet their number.
Yeah, I would not be surprised at that. Chris, how about you? Who do you have in the Red Sox and Astros series? And then you can also pick your NLCS in the amount of games as well.
Astros in 6. Because I think Boston's going to just pesky enough to be a thorn in their side, but not finish it out. And then the Dodgers and Atlanta. Dodgers in 5.
So Dodgers and Astros, a rematch. What, that was 2017? 17.
The one that sparked it all.
Yes. Yes,
if that happens, I'm rooting for the Dodgers, just saying. Revenge.
Absolutely. Especially because they could win it in a full 160 as opposed to just 60 games last season, which didn't really feel like a proper World Series trophy to be awarded to them. But I'm also thinking I'm on Houston in 6 games as well. Chris, at the top of the show when we first started talking about it, I compared this Red Sox team and the run that they're on right now kind of ish to the 2016 Blue Jays and the fact that they got hot in the wild card game, hot in the division series, and I think that they're going to cool off when they meet Houston, kind of like how the Blue Jays cooled off like crazy when they met Cleveland in 2018. So 6 games there. And then if the Giants move on like I think they will, I do have the Giants going through over the Braves, but I do think that one could go 7 games. So I will do Giants over Braves in 7 for a Giants and Astros World Series, which would be kind of an odd matchup, to be honest. Like, it's just kind of like, I can't really picture that in my mind right now. Giants and Astros, it just doesn't sound right. I don't know why.
go Giants.
Yeah, absolutely. Man. Any other playoff comments that you guys have before we move on to a couple Blue Jays related topics?
It's an odd year. Do the Giants really win?
Yes.
Right, because they were winning. They were winning in even years, right?
Every even year.
Yeah, 2010, 2012, like 2014.
3?
Yeah, maybe.
I'll just say it. Buster Posey again.
Yeah, Same
Longo and everybody, apparently.
Let's see if they can do that again next season, which I don't think they will.
So they're using the last of their baseball fuel tank, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope they go to the walls for this.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's move on. This is a Blue Jays podcast, not just a generic MLB podcast. So let's talk some Blue Jays. Again, as I kind of said to you guys in our pre-meeting agenda, there isn't a whole lot, obviously, because it's the playoffs. There are some Twitter conversations, and I think that's pretty much where we're going to go with 2 topics at least. We might add a third, depending on the time. Might save it for later just to not milk too much content and save some next week and the week after before the real off-season reviews and all that stuff comes. But let's start with this one. And this sparked a little bit of a debate, which was fun and healthy, in our Twitter conversation between the three of us. Marcus Stroman, what was it, a week ago, said that he would be open to a return to Toronto, the place there he started his career with. It didn't end the greatest, I would say, because of all those arbitration battles where he lost one, got offended, and then he won another, and just the chip on the shoulder and the ego grew and grew and grew, and it rubbed some people the wrong way. And I don't think he and the front office were on the exact same page. So he's ultimately dealt. We know the story. They got Anthony Kay. They got Simeon Woods Richardson, who they later, just a couple months ago, flipped for Jose Berríos. So Marcus Stroman, in effect, turned into Jose Berríos, and we still have a piece of that trade. But anyways, Chris, let's start with you on this one, because you said in our group chat that you would be open to it, not as a first choice, I think is what you were saying. Do you actually want to see it happen? Do you think the front office even entertains it, considering that there probably still is a little bit of animosity? Where are you at on the possibility of a Marcus Stroman reunion?
I don't think I can argue with the 179 innings pitched, the 1.1 whip, 302 ERA, 3.6 war. Is that worth, like, some people are saying that he's going to be worth 20 to 25 million a year over six. I think that's a little steep. I could see him going for probably closer to 20. I would think people would be a little bit more comfortable with. Now, having said that, we have not even the slightest clue what's going to happen with the CBA this year. So a lot of things are going to be contingent on that. Do I see the front office entertaining Marcus Stroman?
That's tough.
You're contemplating it even. How are they?
It's tough because we know how it ended, where apparently, and I'll say apparently in quotations because we don't know. We weren't. But allegedly, Stroman freaked out on Ross Atkins when he came into the dressing room to tell him that he had been traded to the Mets because he was under the impression that he was going to the Yankees or somebody else. I can't remember who else it was.
Somebody he wanted to go to.
Somewhere where he wanted to go and was going to be a playoff contender. Now, what I will say in his defense, who the hell wants to be traded to the New York Mets? Come on.
I know. That's
nobody
fair.
Wants
that's
to fair. Go there.
Oh, come on. You don't want to meet the Mets.
It seems like he's put that a little bit behind him, at least in the public eye. It seems like he's put that behind him and he's kind of playing the hometown boy card and going along with that. Is there any doubt in my mind he loved Toronto and loved being here? There's no doubt in my mind about that. I think he is a very genuine dude that wears his heart on his sleeve, and he does play with a chip on his shoulder. Now, do I see a lot of Marcus Stroman in everybody's favorite darling of the rotation this year, Alek Manoah? I see a lot of the same characteristics on the mound and a lot of the same kind of confidence and big head ego. Does Alek Manoah play it off in the public eye like Marcus Stroman does? No, I don't think he does. Do we all bang the drum and scream and yell that we want our players to have more personality and we want to see what's going on in their lives and we want to know what's going on? Yes, Marcus Stroman does it, and people hate him for it and they chastise him for it, and they don't particularly think that it's fair. You can think what you want, make your own opinions, that's fine, but like at the end of the day, ball teams employ people like Tony La Russa, and ball teams employ people like Aroldis Chapman, and they don't care because these people win them ball games. And at the end of the day, when your ball team is winning, your ball team is making money, and baseball teams do not care.
Yes.
Money is the name of the game. It is a business.
On the other side with Stroman, what he's saying about that he's open to it, he'd be stupid going into free agency saying that he's not going to entertain an offer from a team because he knows that the Blue Jays have a lot of money to spend this year. He knows that they need a starting pitcher this year. And at the very least, they can use the Toronto Blue Jays as leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all.
Craig. Now, see, there's the quiet thing. That's where I think the Stroman is gauging that whole thing right there. Because if he thinks the Blue Jays can give him the quote-unquote what we basically gave DJ LeMahieu deal, right, last year. The Blue Jays were allegedly and the Yankees had outbid him. Right? Yeah, exactly. Right, so there. I just think it's ironic that in the midst of all this whole things that you were talking about, Stroman even coming back here after the way it fell out with the management and everything, I just think it's really weird and To me, this is a bringing. How should I say this without being a complete jackass? The 2015-2016 teams had their personality, right? And it was the Josh Donaldson mantra, put up or shut up, basically, right? Or play better, right? That was the same kind of as was that locker room, right? I feel like if you're bringing that same mentality into a completely let's do this together ballpark with what's going on right now with the Toronto Blue Jays clubhouse, I think that is going to create animosity in this locker room. And I'm not saying that he's not a good player, that he's probably better than all this kind of stuff is. I just think you're mixing cultures from those two teams. And he was a big part of those two teams. Are we in the past, or do we want to win ball games, or do we want to do this? I just think at the point right now, if you're going after Marcus Stroman right now with the Blue Jays free agency, and he's one of your top guys, there is a big problem with this free agent market, and we should really be looking at trades.
Would you be upset if they traded for Donaldson at a reasonable price then?
I would have to be a hell of a price discount. I want one thing to do with that contract that he's got right now with Minnesota. That is a expensive contract to me for a guy that
contract aside though, would you want Donaldson on your team?
Right now, no. I honestly would take other options over that because I think he's just get to that point where he's going to degrade too quick, and especially putting him back on turf, I don't think it was working. Just to throw that out there, I have that same Josh Donaldson jersey you have right behind you. I love Josh Donaldson, and I just, like I said, I just don't think it's the right fit for the team, and I think I even said that last offseason when he was a free agent, and that's when I was assuming that Vladdy was still our third baseman. So our biggest thing is right now, honestly, I'd rather spend the money on like Chris Bryant.
That's going to be a big chunk of change.
It's going to look eerily similar. But isn't Josh Donaldson's contract right now with the Twins like almost 20 mil a year?
Yeah, Bryant will be more probably.
I agree with that.
I can't remember how much Donaldson's age.
I want to say Arden's Welling, him pegged at like 8 years, 200 and something million.
Ooh, that's an overpay for the way Chris Bryant's been the last couple of years.
I will try to find that to clarify, but I think
that's the projection.
That was the projection that he had missed article this week.
Yeah.
I will try to find that though really quick.
That doesn't shock me, but to that point, then I'd just rather cheap out on somebody like Kyle Seager.
Playing
defense all day, and he's going to hit enough in clutch situations. Right now, that's better than anybody we
I think it may have been one of us, or maybe it was somebody else on Twitter. They said, I forget who it was, but somebody said that Arden's Welling, it's either Zwelling or Ben Nicholson Smith, said that the front office has been a big fan of Kyle Seager for the last couple of years. And now that he's a free agent, that would not shock me at all if Kyle Seager.
And to that point, though, like I said, you're buying, he had a bad season. You're going to be buying low on him pretty heavily. And
he's on the downswing of his career, but he might have something left in the tank.
And he's a veteran that could find it enough. And like I said, worst case scenario, he's going to play good defense.
Yeah.
And right now,
Seager for 2 years, that. Two or three.
So,
okay. There's absolutely no mention of Chris Bryant in that article. So I don't know where the hell I saw that.
Yeah. Anyway,
just some random Twitter follower
speculation. It probably was, to be honest. And Kyle Seager.
I forgot I'm on Spot Track. That has all the projected salary thing. I'm looking right at it. They're projecting that Chris Bryant's going to get somewhere in the $25 million ballpark for a season.
That wouldn't surprise me. That would not surprise me at all.
So, yeah, 8 years, $200 million is about.
I pass on that.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you on that whole thing, too. But I don't see any true value to the whole talk about the Blue Jays getting Jose Ramirez. I really don't. So, to that point, like we were talking about here, if we're talking about bringing somebody back to play third base or bringing somebody back, period. The Blue Jays should be pouring all their money in their pitching because our offense is going to mash. I'm not worried about our offense. So
we'll talk about
where I throw that money. I don't really feel like I'm going to throw it at Marcus Stroman. So yeah. I feel like there's other options I should be exploring.
So you're out on Marcus Stroman is what you're saying, Craig, at the end of the day.
I think he'll be a toxic pill for this clubhouse that is clearly one of the close team chemistries that we've ever seen as Blue Jays fans. And honestly, I would say that we're after all the travel and everything that they've done with different homes over the last 2 years, this is probably the closest knit baseball team in baseball period right now.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think the front office would be silly to not entertain it if Stroman is open to it, but he's not my top target at all. Like, obviously, Robbie, bringing back Robbie Ray is target number one. Depending on who, we're saving that for another time, trust me. We won't go down that rabbit hole. But just looking at some of the other names in the free agent market, guys, like I scrolled through, and I'll scroll through and name a couple as we go through. Who would you rather have between these guys if it came down to Marcus Stroman or some of these names? Would you rather Stroman or Danny Duffy? Danny Duffy's 33. Marcus Stroman, 30. I would probably take Stroman because of the durability. Danny Duffy hasn't been very healthy recently.
And after
soft toss and lefty.
Yeah,
we don't need another soft tossing lefty.
Exactly. What about Kevin Gausman or Marcus Stroman? Because I could get down with Kevin Gausman, and the front office did make him a nice contract offer before he decided to accept the qualifying offer the Giants gave him. So would you go Gausman or Stroman?
I think Gausman is going to try and command far too much money, and he will probably stay in San Fran. So I will still say Stroman.
Their contracts
are going to look eerily similar.
They will. Yeah. They will. Well, Stroman's will probably look a little bit longer. How old is Gausman? 33?
Gausman is 31. Yeah, I think they're the same age.
31?
It says Marcus Stroman is 30.4 and Kevin Gausman is 30.8. So he's almost 30.
Gausman's been in the league for 23 years, though.
He's been around. very, very early when he was young.
Oh. Yeah, But to that, to me, that speaks a little bit to him. And this is why even a lot of teams in baseball wanted to keep giving him a chance. You know, he keeps working. It's the Jose Bautista story in a pitching form, right? He just happened to play on one team for a million years and didn't really do anything, right?
But he got lit up in the AL East, though.
But to that point,
Stroman pitched well in the AL East. Has he figured it out in the AL East, though? He's figured it out in ballparks in the NL West.
I think there's been some mechanical adjustments there with Kevin Gausman, similar to Robbie Ray with some adjustments. I don't know, and that's why I would worry about bringing Gausman back to the American League East, because he did struggle. But I think there was a mechanical adjustment in there that even started last season too. So it's the second season in a row.
Yeah, it's even in the bullpen for the Orioles, he really seemed like he found himself a little bit too. So
yeah,
and that's maybe part of the argument there too. You're talking about Stroman, who's had a few big injuries. Is any of that going to come back and creep up on him? He's been pitching innings after innings. Gausman is technically a freshish arm.
I'd be fine with either. It's 50-50 for me. If they go the Gausman route, I'm totally happy. If they go the Stroman route, I'd be fine with that too. But again, not as option number one. Option number one, we already know, is Robbie Ray. But after that, guys, there's not too many other names that really are overly intriguing on the free agent
Scherzer,
market.
Scherzer, Verlander. I would dump a whack load of money into 1 year on Verlander.
Oh, I would too. I would too. But I'm thinking of guys
one year. And if Toronto has to give him 2 years to get it done, you give him 2 years and just pay him whatever the hell he wants.
Absolutely.
To get him up here.
Like, if they do Verlander, they give him a bunch of money for a year or two. They get Scherzer somehow. He doesn't re-sign with the Dodgers or go back. That's easily right after Robbie Ray. It's those two guys. But
I would do the Verlander thing before Robbie Ray.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I've been on Robbie Ray all year, but I'd do the Verlander thing a million times over on a 1 or 2 year deal than forking out a long term contract on Robbie Ray right now.
Strong 2 no hitters off that mound in Toronto. Just saying.
Yeah, hey, that's very true. That's very, very true.
All right. Are you good with basically this or that? Or because I got something I want to actually throw out to you guys.
Outside of those two guys that Chris brought up, just going through the list, it's a whole bunch of meh. So Stroman probably, let's say one of Verlander or Scherzer don't hit the free agent market. I think both of them will. They're off. Ray's in there. Another guy we're going to talk about in the next topic, Steven Matz. It could be on a free agent market. But after that, Stroman's probably the third, maybe the fourth best option out there. So you don't re-sign Ray, you don't get Scherzer or Verlander, you don't get Kevin Gausman, and you really need a pitcher.
You have to sign Stroman at that point.
100%.
You have to. I'll
throw a name out here that really snuck up on people this year because we finally found it. Who? Carlos Rodon.
Yeah.
The White Sox.
I think
the Sox. I really think he is too, but to that point, he is a free agent. He's going to go out on the market and see what the hell he's worth. And why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, so that's something that might be one of those guys that I think you could get the same return out of somebody like Carlos Rodon, who is a little bit younger than those. I know it's a whole year and a half, 2 years, but he found himself and he was nothing short of an all-star this year.
Yeah.
It was, so, and he did really good. He was the reason that when Lucas Giolito was doing jack and or shit for my fantasy baseball team earlier this season, Carlos Rodon was the horse in that rotation.
What do you think about it? What do you think about Desclafani?
I just brought him up, but I don't know.
He always seems
that guy has Pete Walker special written all over him.
Yeah. That's almost what I was thinking. Like, looking down the list, like, there's so many names, like, good names of old, like Quintana and, like, Sanchez.
Carlos Martinez was another
Velasquez,
one.
Velasquez, Paxton, Lester.
That's where I was Archer, going a couple of months thinking here. I was looking at it.
Oh my God, awesome. Irvin Santana, can we put everybody's money together? What? Okay, seriously, what do you think about Syndergaard? Because I don't touch him with a 10-foot pole unless he's coming here on like a $2 million deal.
Well, like, considering they almost
spent how much money on Kirby Yates, do you think? Just saying. Yeah.
I do it on a one-year deal. I'd maybe even go $5 million just to see what you can get, because they almost did Kluber, and Kluber wasn't great this year. He was okay, but he was also oft injured, and that was a deal he almost did.
Here's an interesting thought. You sign Syndergaard for a $5 million deal plus incentives, almost the exact same, like the exact same as what you did for Kirby Yates. Put him in the back end of your bullpen.
I'm not fine with that, but I don't think he's going to take it.
I don't think he takes it either, but I think that's the best place that he can actually stay healthy and build value.
Rebuild some
value. What was the deal we gave Robbie Ray last year? Does anybody remember the dollar amount?
$8 million or something? It was $8 or $9 million.
I think it's going to still take Syndergaard $10 million to land. It really does. That's what he made last year.
He still thinks
he can do it.
He goes after Kluber's contract from the Yankees this past year. There was another somewhat injured guy who they would be banking on a rebound, because there was Kluber and there was somebody else. Do you guys remember who it was last year? I'll have to go look it up, but I
think the Yankees.
No, it was a target that the Blue Jays were going after at one point, outside of Kluber. I can't remember. I'll have to go look it up, but
was it basically,
Paxton. Yeah, it was Paxton.
Yeah. So, they were linked to Odorizzi. They were linked to Paxton for a while. Thank God we didn't touch Paxton.
I know.
But to that point, all you would have done is lost money. It would have been just like you said, Kirby Yates all over. It would have been
you would have been banking on so much more from Paxton. You would have been banking on so much more from him, though.
But
to that point, that's what
they will go down that route.
Yeah,
they will go down.
Well, that's why I'm saying, like, you bring Syndergaard in, and if he hits, maybe you bring in Syndergaard, and you piggyback Pearson with him.
That'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
That's just a lot of fastballs.
Yes, a lot of fastballs.
But like, there's a lot of guys that you could do the 1 or 2 year deal on this year. Like, if you, I don't know what the hell's going on with Kershaw right now, but he'll never leave Los Angeles anyway. But like, you could almost do the same thing with like a Greinke, if you wanted to. He's been lights out. Scherzer, you could do it with. Like, there's so many, we've already said about Verlander, there's so many guys you could do just that, like 1 or 2 year deal to see where you get in the next 2 years until you have to back a load of money on Bichette and Teoscar and Vlad.
I think that's going to actually happen sooner rather than later too, but maybe that's just where I'm thinking. But I'll throw a couple other names.
That doesn't happen until next offseason.
We've seen him a lot in the American League East, Eduardo Rodriguez. Lefty from the Boston Red Sox. Reclamation project for Pete Walker.
I don't believe in any of the Red Sox magic from this year.
I stay away.
It's all an anomaly.
Old Blue Jay trade to John Gray from the Rockies.
I'd do John Gray. I would bring him in 100%.
Chris, no?
No.
What about Mike Floatinavich?
No.
Absolutely not.
Career.
Yeah.
I'm asking because like literally 2 years ago, he was still really good with the
ball. No, I know. He's fallen off a cliff so quickly. But John Gray still seems like he has something that could be fixed with Pete Walker. And I think it could be similar to Robbie Ray. Maybe not the exact same because that was remarkable, but similar. Yeah.
it's very similar to me, and that's why I wanted to bring it up. And I've always liked John Gray, and I wonder why it didn't click any better than it did. So maybe it's just
Michael Wacha's only 30? Wow.
Who? That's why another reason I was saying it, because I mentioned her 30.
Yeah, Wacha I would consider as well.
He's found a way to do it.
Yeah.
If you bring Wacha and you don't go out, you don't bring Mats back though.
What about Carlos Martinez? Because he is the other name on there who was a legit ace at one time, and he's kind of had a weird career and a lot of injuries recently. But yeah, where he was an ace and then he went to the bullpen, then he was closing games, then they brought him back as a starter, and then he got hurt.
Honestly, I'd let him come to our bullpen, and if he finds a place in our bullpen, he would be a nice random piece to be, you know, matched up with Romano and everybody at the end of our bullpen, because he still throws fucking gas.
Yeah. The weird thing is they even tried starting him again this year, earlier in the year, and then he had a couple relief outings. So I just don't know what you make or what you get from Carlos Martinez, but I don't think the Cardinals know what to do with him either.
Yeah. And they're not going to bring that, I don't think. He's the modern day equivalent of Jobber Chamberlain, just saying.
Yeah. Hey, that's fair. That's not a bad comparison, actually. Yeah. No, it'll be interesting. The Stroman debate is going to rage on. And I think we're kind of in the similar boat ish. Craig, you don't want to touch him. Chris, I think if he's option four and your top three options are gone, then you have to at that point bring him back. Mm-hmm. Because look, you bring him back. Let's say Robbie Ray is not in your rotation. Then you open next season with Ryu, Berríos, Stroman, and Manoa. That's not a bad rotation. It's a little bit of a downgrade because you don't have Ray in there anymore, but it's not that bad of a downgrade. And let's move on to the other topic that I had in the agenda, because it ties into the pitching conversation, and that's Steven Matz. The other topic on Twitter recently has been, do you give Steven Matz a qualifying offer? Because he's also scheduled to be a free agent, and he's coming off a good year. Like, I mean, Matz got off to that incredible start. He had a couple hiccups in May. He got COVID. And right before he got COVID, he was on the upswing again and figuring it back out. He comes back, takes him a couple starts, a few rough ones, but from probably the August long weekend, right around when the Blue Jays got back to Toronto, all the way through to the end of the season, a rough game or two, but Matz kept you in the game. He was the perfect four or five guy who had a very nice end to his season. Now, I'm not sure what qualifying offer is projected to be. And again, Chris, to your point earlier, the CBA is up and they'll be seeing things to see how the free agent market works with that and qualifying offers. But still, do you give Steven Matz a qualifying offer, Craig?
You want the dollar amount? You're not going to like it.
What is
it? It's going to be somewhere like $19
million. Yeah, last year it was 18.4. So you're right around 19. I'm not paying him 19 mil, whatever the fuck day he thinks he is on. You know? So just to put that in perspective, his career, you know, yes, he had one of the better years of his career, but he made 0.2 million last year. I think he's in the $10 million ballpark for a season, because I don't think anybody's going to really give him an extended contract, regardless of what the heck happened with his 2021. What do you think? Chris, I definitely don't write team.
Yeah, go for it, Chris. Sorry.
I don't think he's worth 19, but to know, because qualifying offers and everything have to be done before the CBA is up. So you have extra money to spend this year, and you have like that just locks down an extra part of your bullpen or your starting rotation that you don't have to think about. And if you feel pretty good about what he did this year and you think he can do the same thing, sure, you take a flyer on it. Like, he's probably going to get what, like 24 over 2 years, maybe 36 or 35 over three. In free agency. So like if you offer him qualifying offer, he's going to take it. But that's, I don't know, one, like, that's a lot for me. That's a lot of heavy lifting done then.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just go right away and say, hey, you know what? We'd love to have you back, Steven. Here's your 2 years at 25 million. We'll just do it right now and we'll have you back for 2 years.
Yeah. I'd be fine with that.
I think it would be the better avenue to take than worrying about the qualifying offer. I'm trying to remember. There's some weird, wonderful, you know, calculator for if you have a, you know, war of this, it gets spits out the dollar values for a pitcher for this. Yeah, and well, he had a 2.0 war, and I'm trying to find the actual calculator.
I think one win was what, 9 million or 8 million? So two would be around 16, if that's the case, or 18.
About 9 million per war point. So it's saying he actually would be close to that.
So there's no,
you might as well,
based on 2021.
There's no negative in my mind to giving him a qualifying offer. Kind of building off of what you said, Chris. Yeah, it's a little steeper than he probably would get on a longer term deal on the free agent market. I don't think he's getting anywhere close to 17 to 19 on an extended contract. But that being said, you give it to him, you place him on there. He either decides to take it and you have a fourth member or a fifth member of your rotation back and you're set to go. It's only 1 year. He's off the books season after. Or if he really thinks he can get a longer term deal, maybe 4 years at 15 per, and that's what he prefers is the stability over the dollar figure for this year, then he leaves and you get a draft pick. So there's no harm in my mind at giving him a qualifying offer.
I think will hurt him a lot more than somebody like they're going to give qualifying offers to, I believe, Semien and Ray can both.
It's stupid not to.
They can still both have a qualifying offer tagged up.
I believe so.
You're going to do it to them. And does it hurt their value? Probably not. Not really. Maybe Ray a little bit, but like. Definitely not Semien. Like if you have your heart set on Marcus Semien, you're going to pay him regardless.
Yeah.
But a fringier type of guy like Steven Matz, you're going to be like,
you're letting the air out of his tires.
Yeah. Like not paying him what he wants at that point.
Right.
So to that point, then I think, you hit the nail on the head about the Robbie Ray thing, though, because, you know, the Mets are going to turn around and get, they're going to hope and pray for a draft pick for not getting Marcus Stroman back. Right. Mm-hmm. That's his main competition as far as, you know, somebody equal level in war and everything. It's pretty damn eerily similar to the two of them on paper, honestly, except that Ray ran away with everything this year. Right.
does Stroman doesn't have one attached to him anymore.
Oh, cause he got one last year, right?
He took it last year.
Right.
Oh, is that the last CBA, but that might change all over again too. Just saying.
Yeah, but qualifying offers hurt the players more than it hurts the owners. Yeah, so,
oh, I agree. So we'll see.
I doubt they're going.
But anyway, I was thinking that they were both going to probably have one.
There's too many things that the players want in return then to deal with that. So,
yeah.
But yeah. No,
it'll be interesting to see what happens with Steven Matz because, yeah, I think he's right on the edge of being like, yeah, that's a for sure qualifying offer. So it makes you think, would I do that? And the thing that I think he's after more than anything, Steven Matz, is tenure. He wants a 2 or 3 year deal for that stability, especially because he is a guy who's been oft injured the last few years. And, you know, he takes a qualifying offer. He tries to build his value again. What if he gets hurt? I mean, $19 million is a pretty sweet payday for sitting on the bench and rehabbing. But at the same time,
make it again.
He might not ever get that again. Like next year, let's say he does take the qualifying offer. He gets himself hurt and he enters free agents off, well, I don't know, 10 starts and they're kind of mediocre-ish starts, then I have no idea what he's looking at for next year. So it is a tough decision for Steven Matz.
Buying low, just money. Saying.
But at the same time, I can totally see him being the guy that would turn it down to get a 2 or 3 year deal for that 10 year and stick around and have a chance to rehab, but then build your value again. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Steven Matz has made $14.48 million over his career.
So maybe he would take that 19 mil and be like, damn, I could make more than that in one
double
season.
Double it up, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah, it'll be curious to see because I think it's a very quick and easy way to patch a hole in your rotation because you're operating under the assumption you need two spots filled. And that's going to be a perfectly fine 4 or 5 guy. I'm totally happy with him back next season. How long have we been going for, Craig? Because there is another topic that we can either save for next week or we can dive into a little bit this week.
I think it'd be fun to end on, honestly. So we're at about 7 minutes.
Yeah, sure. Let's go into it.
Let's go into it.
Let's go into it.
He's still only a half hour in.
Yeah, I just got here. Come on.
Exactly. So, Chris, the other topic, I didn't text it in the agenda because I thought about it. So I told Craig before we recorded. Teoscar Hernandez. That's a kind of a conversation that's starting to circulate Twitter a little bit is what an extension for Teoscar looks like, because he's probably due one. He is ARB eligible again. Craig showed it earlier. They projected him, I believe, around, what, 10 in ARB based on the year he had.
It still feels low, doesn't it?
For a guy who's done the last few years. Player, absolutely. A four-win player this year. I think he was even 1.5 or 1.2 last year in just 60 games. So he was putting a nice season together in 2020. So, Chris, I'll start with you on this one. Teoscar is probably the first one up of everybody for an extension at this point. He can be a free agent in 2024, so it's only two seasons away. And he is turning star. He's getting better and better every year in all facets of the game, defense, offense, everything. So in your mind, you are 28, Teoscar Hernandez, turning 29, I think, going into next season. Blue Jays come to you with a four-year deal. To buy out a couple of your ARB years. Let's say 4 or 5 years, you buy out two ARB years. What is that dollar figure for you that would make Teoscar be like, yep, I will take that?
$30 million at that point. He's not going to take a four-year bridge deal like that.
Right now, he's a $36 million player anyway.
Yeah,
why not?
He'd be crazy. He'd be crazy, too. Because to take your deal, then he'd be hitting free agency at 32.
It's not bad.
Then he probably gets another four-year deal, maybe.
We've seen what happened with Edwin and everybody. Those guys signed.
Yeah, I don't know if he does that, to be honest. I really don't know if he does that. I would think that it'd have to be a 5 or 6 year deal.
Yeah.
I think you would have, honestly, it would probably have to be closer to a 6 year deal for him to even entertain it at this point and get him to 35 ish.
Yeah. And how much money would you offer him in that deal to make him be like, yep, sign me up?
$30 million
per.
Yeah. Would probably do it. Like, you probably start at like Springer money. You probably start at Springer money or maybe even less. Cause you got to act like you're doing him a favor by giving him more through his arbitration year. But yeah, I would think 6 years, $30 million apiece, but then you have to like look at what Guerrero's doing, and then automatically you have to start paying him like 40 or $45 million a year. So
yeah, maybe you try that, 20, see if that, he 20 per first.
You probably try. Ah, yeah. You don't want it. That's tough because you really don't want to insult him as one of your cornerstone pieces as well, right? But that's how negotiations go. You always start low. I think he would probably take 6 years, $30 million apiece.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at this point you've seen enough that you'd be comfortable with it, and it'd probably be fair.
Yeah,
Craig.
So I liked where you were going with the dollar amount. I think that's really the kind of thing that's really going to get it taken done. But knowing the fact that the Blue Jays somehow got to get creative and know how they're going to be waiting some of this money for those youngsters that they clearly keep, I'm wondering if they find the total dollar amount here, fellas, of what he would make over that 4 or 5 year period, and fucking front load the shit out of it.
$40 million a year to start.
Why not? You're not paying Bo or Vlad, Jansen. Yeah. The only guy you're really paying on this whole thing right now is Ryu, and Teoscar will be something Springer. Regardless of Springer, yeah. And Lourdes Gurriel has a little bit more money on his because of the international signing stuff. I want to say he's actually somewhere in the 10 ballpark already. I can't recall.
I thought he was making like $7 million.
I think it was one of those things that gives him his.
Yeah.
It's still team friendly, all the fuck.
It's super team friendly.
Yeah.
That's why I don't get the whole trade Lourdes for Jose Ramirez thing, because like their contracts are eerily similar and like their numbers are fairly similar as well. But anyway.
Yeah. So if you're Teoscar and they drop 140, 150 in your lap for 4 or 5 years, and like it's all money you're getting now, and you worst case get traded or released to the point where you can salvage your career or something if something really goes screwed up. You know what I mean? I right now, if I'm, that's what I'd be shooting for, but I think it's going to take somewhere in that ballpark of that amount of time. and that amount of money to get him to sign something for that commitment. But I also think he legit likes being a Toronto. It screams it all over his face. You see how much fun he's having with his ball club. Mm-hmm. If he knows he's going to get to be around Bo, Vladdy, Lourdes, and all these guys, I really think that the dollar amount will be a big part of it. But I think that knowing that where he's going to be is going to be another big part of him. He just strikes me as one of those guys that he's going to go where he wants. And yeah. More and the money is going to be a piece of it, obviously, but I think he's one of those odd people like me that would rather be where he wants to be than worrying about other parts of it. So
yeah, and another guy in that same camp is Barrios, so
correct.
And he's almost exactly the same.
Really,
and like, if you had to, here's a fun question: if you had to choose, do you want Teoscar or do you give the money to Barrios?
Ooh. That's tough.
Sign one, trade one.
I sign Barrios. I think you can get him at a better price point, but also you might be able to sell higher on Teoscar, because then that money that you pay Teoscar goes right to Bo and Vlad.
Yep. Correct. My only worry is I feel like I can trade for the pitching. Is it just me, or does it seem like always bats are harder to find on the free agent market? Trade market, not free agents. I think I'd have an easier time finding a good pick by going, hey, Jose Barrios is available. Give me your rookies. And next thing you know, we get Simeons and Woods Richardson and Austin Martin back. Do you see somebody giving those kind of prospects up to get Teoscar in the next couple of years? Because that's what I would, in my opinion, it would take to trade him. But
it depends if Milwaukee comes banging on your door.
You could get one. I would take one. I would take one plus a couple other B-listers, an A-lister and maybe two B-listers at that point.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I think in the trade market, you get more value from pitching because everybody's desperate for pitching all the time. So I would pay Teoscar.
But then who are you replacing Barrios with?
I'm hoping our fucking minor league system and Eric Park company finally come together.
Yeah.
I'm in the same camp as Brendan. You have enough thump in that lineup, and you have enough thump coming as well. It's so hard to hit on pitching. To get people to come to the AL East and come to Toronto is so hard. That's and especially definitely. Especially pitchers. Like, you can like you got Jose Canseco and whatever way back in the day to come here and thump, right? Like, guys will come here to hit all day every day, but to get pitchers to come here, especially guys like Jose Barrios, you already gave up like two of your best prospects to get him. You got to lock that down. You have to lock that down. Because if Austin Martin comes back and he turns into like some superstar, like that's going to come back and haunt you fast if you don't get Barrios here already. For a long time.
Yeah. That's why I think they might also. But I wouldn't be surprised if they approach Barrios this offseason and be like, hey, here's a really nice deal. Take it now before you hit the free agent market.
So are we really worried about the money thing here with what we've been talking about? I know it's going to take a lot of money to hold on to these guys, but guys, our budget right now is fucking peanuts.
You still need more pitching. You still need more help, and you still have to figure out how to do that without mortgaging the future on money.
Right.
You always talk about mortgaging prospects, but you have to figure out how to allocate this money so you can lock up Vlad and Bo and Teoscar and whoever else, Pearson never hits, or Manoa when that hits. Like, all of these guys are going to hit free agency within within 3 years of each other. So you got to figure out now what the hell your plan of attack is to keep that money available, but compete in that time as well. That's why I really like these Verlander and like Greinke contracts, where you can just dump as much stupid money as you want right now for 2 years to get these pitchers in, and then not worry about what's going to happen in year three when you need to sign these guys.
Yeah. No, totally. Absolutely makes
sense. There is something to the other flip of that, though. You know what you want, and it's this box, right? You guys have done it. I gave up money for this, right? I got to figure out my payment plan. I bought my expensive fucking car, right? Whatever it is, right? So there's a, I'm just saying, there's this is a team that had, what was it in 2015 after absorbed Tulo money and everything, was 22 mil or $220 million or something like that. I mean, for the collective Blue Jays team of that time,
I think the highest they got, they didn't go over 200. I know that. Okay. It was between it was like 190 or 180. Maybe, yeah. Maybe 190, but
I thought it was 190.
But to that point, if this team's playing well with these stars and this things are going, this could be a 200 mil team, is my point.
Oh, for sure it can, but like you're going to have to pay, like a quarter of that is going to be Guerrero.
Yeah, that's true.
Like literally a quarter
we
of that
did
is going
to Vernon Wells.
Yeah, but a quarter of that is going to be Guerrero in like probably north of $40 million. Probably, because I doubt he signs a contract. He's going to want to try to do it again. And yeah. If he does it again, like, good Lord, that's going to cost so damn much.
And if Bo
has another stupid year, like, if he hits over three, if he wins a batting title next year, which, like, I honestly don't think is out of the realm of possibility.
I think he
could do it eventually. Like, if he goes out and wins a batting title, he's going to be, like, $30 or $35 million.
Oh,
playing a premium position. So now you have almost
all right, I want Bogart's money.
Yeah, like you're going to have like almost $100 million wrapped up per year in two guys. Oh yeah, and you have Springer already locked up $25 million in here. So that's like that's probably about $100 million there in those three players. Now you have to figure out Teoscar in there. You have to figure out Brios, if you're going to pay him, you still have Ryu on for 2 years, which probably by the time all of this hits, he's going to be gone anyway, so it really doesn't matter.
But then Manoah gets that money.
Well, like, yeah, Manoah's some money in there, but...
All I heard is draft better.
And it's not even draft better, it's develop better. Develop better. Like, you can draft and pick names all you want, but if you can't get these guys to develop and stick on the right page and do the right things, like look how long it took Vlad to develop up and to just get the program and do the things he was supposed to do.
So basically what we're all saying at the end of the day is the Blue Jays window to win is before these guys need to start getting paid. Because then that's when you have headaches, because Electros couldn't keep their core together forever that they were winning World Series with and getting to the ALCS every year with. Springer's gone. Correa's probably going to be gone. Altuve will be gone in a year or two. But they have the talent to replace it. You're seeing the new age Astros this year with guys like Kyle Tucker, Yordan Alvarez, and in the rotation. So they have waves of talent, which is what Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins have tried to say they're doing and have started doing it. But yeah, it's a headache for another day, all this contract stuff. But the window to win is starting next season and the year after that, before Vlad needs to get his 40 mil and Bo needs to get his 30 or 35 mil, plus while you have Springer making 25 million a year. It's gonna be interesting.
And apparently Teoscar's getting 30 million.
We're probably getting
30 million and
you
get right. 30 million. You get 30 million.
I wish it was that easy. Where we'd be like, yeah, listen to the Jaybird watching podcast and just pay them what you can so you can keep them around forever because we love them so much.
When do they get doing right? All our thinking for them.
Hey, we're ready for a sponsorship deal or something like that.
Get your shirts over here.
Exactly. Guys, was there anything else that you wanted to that? Anything else that you've seen on Twitter that's worth going over? I think that's probably where we'll probably find the majority of our topics next week and the week after before. As I mentioned, we dive into reviews of players and all that stuff when the World Series is over. But was there anything else that you guys wanted to add before we wrap it up?
I'm good, man.
Not today.
Not today, not tomorrow, because we will record again next week at this point. With that, joining us, everybody, thanks for listening. Craig, were there any questions, comments in the live feed stream, anything there?
Surprisingly quiet tonight. There's a lot that's of good. Like, oh, that's a good point. Oh, this
that's
is great.
The Leafs are back. Everybody's watching.
Yeah, everybody's watching hockey tonight.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe next week,
but
join us.
That back, fans, if you are listening, make sure you join this conversation, because us three, you know, stooges would love to have another person to chuckle with. So
yeah, good deal. Absolutely. But yeah, like us, subscribe, check us out on Jay's Journal. We are the official podcast of Jay's Journal, Stadium Scene as well. And yeah, chime in on the discussion each and every week as the hot stove season is going to be upon us in what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, as soon as the World Series is done. And we turn our attention to there. But yes, let's end this how we always do, with two claps and a Ric Flair. Let's go, Blue Jays. Ready? Woo! Let's go, Blue Jays.
Money to Robbie Ray.
Woo! $30 million for everyone.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.